Welcome to Surviving to Thriving, the weekly podcast for women ready to move beyond just getting by and into the realm of thriving. I'm Janessa Durrani, a life coach who's empowered countless women to design lives they truly love. And my mission? To help every woman on earth carve out a role they adore, one that's fulfilling and provides them the rewards they're seeking. Now, if the idea of that both excites and terrifies you, then you're in the right place, my friend. Each week, I share my strategies, frameworks, and a few stories along the way for you to put into immediate application, guiding you through incremental changes on your transformative journey. Gain the confidence, competence, and clarity needed to design your life now. I'm so thrilled you've joined us. Welcome to our journey together. Let's go. I just created a new workshop called Love Your Whole Life. And I gave it last week, and I love, love, love this workshop. And well, actually, to be honest, I love all my workshops, but there's a little bit of thoughts around this idea of loving your whole life, as if that's a utopia that's like, oh, that's nice, Janessa. You love your whole life. I wish I could be as lucky as you, right? It's not that, my friend. I am not perfect. I am not living some utopia. And so I want to talk to you today about what loving your whole life really is, the realism around this, but still how important it is. Okay. So let's just start first with what loving your whole life isn't. Okay. It's not loving every minute of your life. I was at a friend's for an activity a few weeks ago. We were talking about this idea that with everything comes the mundane, the crap, so to speak. And one of my friends was telling me about, I don't even know who it was. It was a quote that her and her husband use daily, which is, first there's ecstasy, and then there's the dishes. And this idea that we have huge highs and so forth, but we still come to the place where we have to do the hard work or do the mundane and so forth. And yeah, I am sure there are people out there, we can all pay off people to do the mundane, but there's always something that has to be done. I actually was watching an interview. It was a small clip on Instagram with a famous singer, and now it's going to escape me who it was, but it was like, what has been the hardest challenge you've had in your life? And of course, I think it was, oh, for goodness sakes. In any case, it wasn't like, oh, trying to be successful in a man's world or coming up with new songs and, you know, songwriting and so forth. She pondered for a second and then was like, trying to figure out what to make for dinner night after night after night. And I'm like, see, she's normal. She's normal just like we are. Okay. So that's not what loving your whole life is. It is not having everything perfect. This is episode 98, and I think perfectionism has come into play in at least 97 that have come before this. It is pervasive. Let me remind you that aiming for perfect is actually the worst thing we could do because A, it's unattainable. And even if we have moments of brilliance where we think we're there, it is not maintainable. So we work towards excellence, making it a little bit better, so on and so forth. Loving your whole life is not having a picture perfect life. The one that you see on Instagram where everything is all perfect and so forth. Nuh-uh. I always say that the moms that are going into the PTA bake sale with beautifully adorned cupcakes and all coiffed and so forth, she hasn't done laundry in weeks. We all have things that we love and we all have things that we dread. Okay. So herein, let's talk about what it is to have a life that you love in its whole, the life you love. It is first, knowing what matters. Second, giving each of those things the attention and priority it needs, and always being open to leveling up, not fixing. Sidebar, my friend, you are not broken. You are not flawed. You are a beautiful human in the moment. Right now, you are exactly where you need to be, and you are doing the best you can with what you have. Okay? So it's always about gaining awareness and seeing where we might want to improve and so forth, but not fix. I want to share an analogy. You know, I always go back to design analogies since that's my background. Think about your house, your condo, your apartment, wherever you live. And it's made up of many different rooms. And there are rooms that you love to be in because it's comfortable. It might be a color that you love. It might have furniture that is just of your own choosing. And, you know, the ambiance, the view, the light that comes in, all the things. And then there's the rooms you open the door, shove the stuff in, shut the door, and you move on. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. There are parts of our life that we just naturally spend more time in, more time on, and others that we are, in essence, neglecting. And I want us to determine what rooms does our house or our life need, and then we determine how we can make them all livable, and not just livable, but craveable, ones that we want to spend time in, ones that we look forward to going into, okay? So first, let's determine the first piece. What matters most? What makes up your whole life? Because it is different for each and every person, okay? When I did the workshop, we did an exercise where everyone just wrote out what matters to you. What for me, and I had them do a list from 5 to 7. They could choose, because every time I say pick 5, someone said, oh, but can I pick 7? So you know what? You do you. What are the 5 aspects of your life that matter most to you? Okay. And this again will be different. For me, I have 5. Mine are kind of more general: body, mind, spirit, connection, and impact. Okay? So in the workshop, I had everyone put into the chat all the things that were on their list. They went from pastimes and hobbies to travel and adventure, family, health, faith. You do you. It does not mean that you are going to, if family isn't on the top of your list, that you're going to disown your family. It is, where is your focus? What matters to you on the regular? What fills you up? What is going to make you feel comfortable in your life? Okay. And then think about what each of those is made up of. So again, mine was body, mind, spirit, connection, and impact. So for example, body. What goes into that for me? For me, that is feeding myself, hydrating myself, moving my body, caring for my body, such as regular showers, using lotion, putting on perfume, caring for myself. And the fifth one is actually medically taking care of myself. I cannot be alone in the fact that to make a doctor's appointment, I'd rather like pull each of my eyelashes out one by one. But that is what needs to be done. For impact, the work that I do in the world paid, the work I do in the world as a volunteer, the work that I do in the message and the words that I use to just everyone around me, I want to leave every situation that I'm in better than where I found it. Okay? So for you, what matters in your life? What does a whole life look for you? Okay? Once you have that, then you can go to the next step, which is giving each aspect the attention and priority it needs. So again, we have that, oh my gosh, I am so comfortable in this part of my life. Usually, everyone is different. The two places that I feel like so many women are over living in the space of family and in work. And in some cases, if you are working at home, either as a stay-at-home worker or a work-from-home worker, those two have kind of melded together. And there is nothing wrong with living fully in the life of your family and or the life of the work that you do in the world, as long as it is not making the rest of your life depleted. Because we only have so much time, energy, and space to be able to live our lives, right? I still want you to sleep. I still want you to have, again, this full life. So for each of those 5 to 7 things, where are you like killing it, spending all the time, all your attention is there, and which things are that room that you're opening the door, throwing some stuff in, and closing the door really quick? The one where you're like, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll get to that next week. Typically, again, I find that on the two areas that are most depleted are those around our health and taking care of our bodies and our minds, not having those things around mindfulness and creativity and play and just extracurricular time, or for goodness sakes, just having a moment to ourselves. So once we know what's most important, now we look at where are we spending our time and energy, and where can we kind of pump up the volume in these other aspects that have been depleted in the past. And this is not a one-to-one. If you work outside of the home, there's this concept of like, oh, I work an 8-hour day. And so if I want to give everything, if all 5 aspects of my life, the same amount of time, there's not enough time in the day. Most of the things that are in our life take moments, moments. 10 minutes of meditation, you would be freaking amazed at how much that would have an impact on you. A walk in the woods for 15 minutes. I mean, for heaven's sakes, just walking around your house in a couple of minutes to get some fresh air, to break the monotony of everything that you're doing and so forth. So for those 5 to 7 things, now you can see which ones are like fully loaded and where are they being depleted. Where can you then look at where you could just slowly turn up the heat on each one of those? What's a daily action that you could do for each of those 5 that doesn't take more than 10 minutes that would start to move the needle for you? I've talked about this before. Again, as perfectionists, we are all or nothing. We think, oh, I can't read this book because I only have 10 minutes. So I'm going to wait until I have 5 hours to just have a whole reading party and then I'll read. Or I don't have time to do this new hobby because I only have a half an hour and that's not going to be enough time. I need to wait till I have a whole day. Well, we know we're never going to have 5 hours to read and we're never going to have a whole day to do our hobby. And so thus we never do any of it. Whereas if you were to give yourself 10 minutes each day, 10 minutes daily equates to 60 hours in a year. 60 hours of focusing on your health, 60 hours on mindfulness, 60 hours in play and spirit and faith and creativity. It's amazing what can be done in just 10 minutes a day. And then similarly, the last piece is always looking at an opportunity to just level up just a little. It's not about being discontented or thinking that it's not perfect and trying to strive for perfect. It's similar to, oh my gosh, I was in Marshalls and look at this cute rug. This would look perfect in my downstairs bathroom. Looking for ways to enhance, to have more joy, more vibrancy, more life in every corner of your life. So often, there are houses. I don't live in this house. Well, I actually kind of do live in this house in the concept that we do have a kind of formal living room or formal dining room, but we do use it. But I have been at so many friends' house and I was like, oh my gosh, this dining room is amazing. They're like, oh, we never use this. No, 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 we don't. We don't use this. That's no. It's like, I don't want to keep it clean. I don't have to deal with it. So on and so forth. If our lives are like our houses and they get too big, too many aspects, too many rooms, we can't live fully in them. That's why I really want you to focus down to the 5 things, those 5 rooms. Let's go through the house. You need to have a bathroom. You need to have a kitchen. You need to have a place to sleep. You need to have a place to relax. And then you get a bonus that's just for you. All the rest of them are extraneous and we need to let them go. Where are you putting energies in a direction that no longer fills you up and it doesn't even matter? You don't even need that anymore. That's where you need to look. Loving your whole life does not mean you have to love every minute. It doesn't mean it's perfect. And it doesn't mean you have to put on the airs that everything is great all the time. Because let's be honest, that's not how this works. It's about understanding what matters. Identifying where you are spending your energy, space, and time, and making sure that everything on your list of what matters is getting attention and priority in a way that doesn't overwhelm. Always looking for that tiny place where we can just turn up the heat a little bit more so that we can live a joyful, vibrant life that fills us up. That is what I want each and every one of us to have. I appreciate your staying power and thank you for joining me until the very end. You're recreating your life, my friend, and I am so incredibly proud of you. If you found this episode helpful, please share, subscribe, and leave a review. It means the world to me. Your support helps more women discover it. Reach out anytime as I'm here to support you. My email is in the show notes, and you can find me at janessadurrani.com. And until next week, remember, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can, wash, rinse, and repeat, one intentional step at a time. You've got this, my friend.